Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Yo, peace, family. We are here. We are in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel. In the building.
All right, and we are Collective Minds. Our brother Mufasa Ra is usually with us. He's at Savior's Day, but, you know, hopefully he can check in with us here in a minute. But peace to the family. This is Collective Minds Radio, where we all ain't got to think, but we... Wait, how I go? I done messed it up. We all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. Right.
Thank
you know, we back in the building, y'all. For, you know, hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with the family. You know, we've been having some great shows for opening up 2020. And we going to continue today. Today is just an open discussion that we do on the last Sunday of every month. And by February being a short month, here we are, right? So we doing open discussion. Give us a call. It's not a spectator sport. Let us know what's on your mind, what you've been thinking about the past week. How was your week? And we gonna talk about it. But before we do, my sister Queen Rigel, how was your week? And do you got any announcements for us?
My week was great. But my announcements is mainly just gonna be the topics that we gonna discuss. And you, everybody should already know what that is. That Wilder Fury 2. That's my announcement. But we'll get into that later. But no other ones.
All right, all right. Yeah, I guess a quick announcement, just a shout-out to all the brothers and sisters at Savior's Day. Shout-out to the Nation of Islam. I did get to catch some of Farrakhan's speech, and, you know, he was going in as usual, dropping jewels. He spoke on, of course, he spoke on Donald Trump. I think the name of the speech was the unraveling of a great nation. He kept saying that. So he was talking about the unraveling of a great nation. Yeah, he talked about the Trump
impeachment
trial.
I had tried to look at some of it, but I didn't get a chance. I kept getting distracted beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, it was a pretty good speech. Like I said, he went in. He talked about Kobe. Like I said, I didn't get to see the entirety, but I watched most of it. He talked about Kobe. He talked about Snoop and Gayle.
Oh, really?
So
I'm going to go back and watch it.
Yeah, he was all over the place. Yeah, you got to go back.
But
he
was
actually
a good speaker
defended
anyway.
Snoop. Oh, yeah, dynamic speaker. Yeah.
He
dynamic
speaker. You say he.
Yeah, he defended Snoop.
Okay.
He defended Snoop. He showed a picture of him and Snoop in the background while he was speaking on it. But he was like, you know, I do not condone any black man, you know, calling any woman the B word.
Okay, well, yeah,
like,
okay,
you know,
so he just, well, he just, okay,
but
so
he was
just
like, he understand his
that,
anger.
Yeah, okay, well, that's, yeah, that's, I can go
yeah,
with
yeah,
that. I'm
yeah, yeah, he didn't
like
defend that part.
The whole thing, okay, right, well, yeah, that's
No, you know he had to clarify, yeah,
right,
yeah, he's
okay.
Not going to be with that. But, yeah, it was a good speech from what I've seen. He just ended it. He actually ended it kind of short because he said he got a lot to talk about. But he going to do part two next week. at Mosque Miriam, which is a home mosque in Chicago. So, yeah, be on the lookout for that. Savior's Day just went down this today. It was, you know, a whole weekend of events, and they was in Detroit. I believe they was in Detroit celebrating Savior's Day. So shout out to them brothers and sisters for, you know, doing what they do. Yeah. So without further ado, y'all, we'll get to the call lines here in a second. But, yeah, so let's discuss this Wilder Fury fight. For those that don't know, Deontay Wilder, who is the heavyweight champ, was going up against Fury. This is their second time fighting. The first fight was a split decision. It went the distance. They called it a draw. So this is the second time that they didn't fought. Since then, both of them didn't had two fights, right? And so yesterday was the rematch. And, yeah, Deontay Wilder lost the belt. It went seven rounds. His corner ended up throwing in the towel. It was a TKO. And, you know, everybody was devastated. A lot of people wasn't expecting him to lose, you know, in such brutal fashion. But here we are. You know what I mean? He lost his belt. So, Rigel, now what did you think about the fight?
When you saw it? God.
What was going on?
It was horrible to watch. Like you said, it was brutal. I mean, it was so bad. I mean, his mother stopped the fight as far as I'm concerned. His mama was like, look, if you don't get my baby out that ring. It was bad.
Right.
And I rewatched it, some of it anyway. And it just seems like when I rewatched it that unfortunately this Fury guy, he's immune to Dante's strength. If they fight again, Dante gonna have to figure something out. I actually think the man is on something, but maybe not. He's a big guy, you know, and I don't know what type of training he's doing, but whatever training he's doing, he got some inside knowledge about Wilder's actual strength when he punched, because I think he's immune to that. I think whatever strength Wilder has when he punched, I think he understood that, and I think that's what he practiced with. He might have been getting kicked with a horse. And this to the strength, because he was taking it. Because I realized, because just after the first time, I thought maybe, you know, Wilder just wasn't landing nothing, and it was just all bad. So when I rewatched it and I reassessed it, everything, it's like he did land some. And unfortunately,
he did.
The Fury was just taking it and just shaking it off. It was like, I thought the man was on something the first time. But Wilder just really did not seem himself to me. It's like from the beginning, he just didn't seem himself to me. So much to say that I wouldn't even be surprised if somebody put something in the man's water, his water bottle, before he went out. Or if he just actually threw the fight. You know, just for the hype, for the third round, for the trilogy. I don't know. But to me, it was just very weird and awkward that this man that we know, Wilder, hitting folks and knocking them down the way that he was doing and been doing all this time, get in this ring and just look like a totally different boxer. Didn't even look like a boxer. He just didn't seem well for this. He didn't seem compatible, and I don't know what it was, but he just did not seem like the same. He didn't seem like the same boxer to me. He was like a totally different man. So I thought that was very interesting.
Right.
But Fury, he's a big guy, and he kept choke holding him and using his weight to his advantage, and he was taking them licks, and he apparently hit very hard too. You know, he's a big guy, so I'm sure he have a lot of strength. I wouldn't want to be hit by him, so I know he can, you know, knock some people out as well. So he was just hitting hard. I don't think Wilder was just able to take those hits. It's just sad. I hated to see Wilder go down like that, but, you know, he came out beforehand, you know, he hyped the community up to this day and all that, and now he just took us right back into slavery. Well, I shouldn't have said all that, but it was just bad to me, and I hated it because I really wanted Wilder to win.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I wanted Wilder to win. It was kind of hard to watch. They ended the fight in the seventh. It's kind of doing the towel. I thought they could have ended it earlier. I mean,
yeah.
From what I seen, it was when his lip got busted. I think that may have been the second or third round. His lip got busted. He was a little off. And then once his ear started bleeding, it was a wrap. Once
the
blood
lip?
Started coming from his ear, he wasn't the same. I mean, the busted lip wasn't nothing, but when you look at it, I think Fury smelled blood, right? He seen the blood. Not to mention Fury stuck his tongue out and was acting like he was licking Deontay's blood because he talking about he wanted to taste blood during the promotion for the fight. But so he started bleeding from the ear. Now once that happened, I think it was a wrap. Now this my theory. And I'm going to go out on the limb on this. I think that Fury had something in his blood. I think Fury might have cheated because I've seen Fury in a couple fights, and I don't think he hits that hard because to me it looked like on the side of Deontay's, I think that was his left side where his ear was bleeding, it looked like he had a cracked cranium. It looked like his cranium was cracked, and I know with boxing gloves, it's hard to break somebody's skull. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know if he had something in them gloves or what, but it just didn't look the same. And once he got rocked with that punch to the left side of the face and his ear started bleeding, you know, it was a wrap. And then when they was getting tangled up, he was catching Wilder with uppercuts and little right hooks and left hooks, and those was hurting. You know what I'm saying? Before the ref break him up and they close together and he hit you with a little uppercut, them was stinging. You know what I'm saying? And Wilder just never recovered. You know, he just never recovered. So, he's still the champ in my eyes. I think he has a great record. He only has one loss. You know, everybody kind of want to do the Mayweather thing and go out undefeated, but that doesn't happen a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody don't go undefeated. So, you know, I think he can bounce back if he continues to fight, but I would just be concerned about that left side of his brain because I know they said he had to check into the hospital or whatever.
Yeah.
So hopefully the brother's all right. And, you know, but that just didn't, like I say, it didn't seem right. I'm charging that something went on. I'm charging, making a speculation that something was going on. Something wasn't right. You know, something was off. And, you know, that's the way it looked to me, you know.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
But shout out to Fury. I mean, if Fury did it on the up and up, then he was the better fighter. You know what I'm saying?
If he did, well, I'm doubtful myself.
If he did it on with nothing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, then big ups to him. But I suspect
that
there was something else going on.
Yeah,
and that's
I do too, unfortunately.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, come on, man. You get hit in it. That's what the gloves are for. The gloves are supposed to protect you from knuckle-to-knuckle stuff. So if you have something in your glove, which is not foreign to boxing, because a few boxers have been caught that had something in their glove and they was just pounding cats and breaking their face, breaking eye sockets and things like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that crazy in boxing for somebody to cheat. It's just if they go get caught.
Exactly.
It's like, come on. You get hit on the side. You get hit on the temple with like a rock in there.
If you can recall, Brother Kevin, in the beginning, he'd act like he was reluctant to even touch his gloves with Wilder.
Right, right.
We was like, because when I was watching it, we both was like, Ron and I was like, hey, he wasn't even going to even, you know, give him touch his gloves. So that's interesting that you would, you know, bring that theory up.
Yeah,
because,
that's interesting. Right.
Yeah. I definitely noticed that.
They didn't have, you know, they didn't have no cameras in their training camp. It was all secrecy and this and that. You know, they didn't want a lot of people around, and it was like, you know, just a lot of stuff going on. So that's my assessment until further notice. You know what I'm saying? That's my assessment. I think something was going on. I really want to hear from Wild to see what he has to say. You know, and if he say he think it was firing straight up, then I would go with that. But if Wilder suspects something else, then, you know, I'm with him. So, but, you know, we move on, you live and you learn. They in a brutal sport. You dig what I'm saying? You win some, you lose some. But like I say, the man got, Wilder has 42 wins, one loss, one draw, you know, 40 knockouts. So I think the brother had an outstanding career. You know, he could ride off into the, you know, and do his thing, just retire as far as I'm concerned. He'd still be the champ.
Like I said,
I digress.
That's what I don't like the most is that he, you know, messed his record up, you know. That's the only thing.
Right. Yeah, he did. So, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, hopefully, like I said, hopefully the brother will be back. I don't think his career is over if he wants to continue fight. You know, as long as ain't no health concerns there. As far as them shots he's taking to the head, you know. But yeah, hopefully, you know, hopefully the brother pull through and you know, hopefully he's good. Joshua got the other two belts, so him and Fury may fight. I doubt it. Joshua got the other, Anthony Joshua, who's a heavyweight champ out of England. Fury's also from England. Fury and Joshua have sparred with each other. They've also, you know, they cool. They've been with each other in camps and stuff like that. So possible fight, I don't really see that happening. I think they both just go hold on to their belts and just fight, you know, whoever. But I don't see them getting in the ring. It'd be a good fight. You know, I like to see that fight, but I don't see it happening, to be honest. But, you know, we'll see. We will see. Yes, indeed. This is Collective Minds Family. If y'all just joining us, this is our weekly open discussion. So we just talking about everything that's been happening in the week, what's in the news, current events. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. So now, in further news, the Snoop Dogg versus Gail King, debacle is still going on because I think a couple of days ago, Snoop went on Jada Pinkett's Red Table podcast and to discuss, you know, his comments against Gail King. Did you get a chance to see that, Roger?
No, but I saw that he was on there. I didn't get a chance to click on it, though. What did he say?
I didn't see all of it, but I just basically kind of saw what Jada was saying, and she was like, you know, her heart kind of dropped, and, you know, she felt a certain type of way by the language he was using. It felt like he was talking to her or something to that effect. But, you know, Snoop Dogg seemed like he understood. He, you know, he talked to her. He issued an apology before. You know, for those that don't know, we're talking about Snoop Dogg and Gail King. When Gail King did the interview with Lisa Leslie, basically bringing up Kobe Bryant allegations, and not only that, but just kind of drilling Lisa Leslie about his character and so on and so forth. And Snoop did a video where he kind of called out, he used some foul language, you know, he was upset about how she came at Kobe Bryant, considering, you know, the brother had just passed. And so, you know, he did a video apologizing, and then he went on Jada Pinkett's podcast and they was talking about it. So he's been getting a lot of backlash from people, basically on him about the language he used. You know, a lot of people felt that he might have went too far by calling her a funky doghead bee, you know, and then saying we coming to get you or we getting at you or something like that. But I think the brother was upset. Now, I'm like Farrakhan, I don't condone him calling the lady a B. You know what I'm saying? And even when Snoop said it, I kind of cringed a little bit, like, dang, he did kind of go in. You know what I'm saying? He did kind of go in. But I understood his, you know, his anger. I understood his passion, his anger, how he felt, you know, with her going in like that. But, you know, it is what it is. You, any comments on that one? Or we can
call on. Well, I mean, just I don't condone the language either and the name calling and all that. I mean, his anger, I mean, I can maybe, what's the best way to put this? I understand it to a degree. I do to a degree. But it still seemed like it was just kind of like overkill, though. You know, I don't know. I just think it was just too much anger displayed. And I just don't think it was necessary. I just don't, but, you know. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
What I mean by that, just for a little more clarity, I can understand him feeling a certain kind of way, but I think to go on and make any comment publicly about it, it was too much. Whether it was, you know, no name calling, none, I just think he should have think it was necessary for him to make a public statement about it. So if you want, I think the degree of anger is only should be limited to just to yourself, to, you know, to when within private. But I don't think it was necessary. I don't think his anger should have caused him to come on publicly and say all that. That's just me personally. I know other people will probably disagree and say, well, yeah, the interview was public and all that, but, yeah, he wasn't a part of the interview. So, I mean, it's just that's just my personal opinion. I think he could have just left that among his fans and, I mean, his friends and family.
Yes, indeed. I respect that. I respect that most definitely. So I'm done with that one. One more thing before we get to the call lines. There's been a lot going on with former basketball player Dwayne Wade and his son. His son came out recently and they said they was changing his name to Zaya, and they were going to start referring to him as a her and she. Okay. And, you know, a lot of people came out with their opinions, had something to say. Bootsy was one of them. The rapper Bootsy came out, did a video. So now Bootsy has gotten a lot of backlash with the stuff that he said. Basically, they're calling Dwayne Wade's son a trans, whatever. Which, when they talk about trans, from my understanding, that means you're about to have surgery or you're contemplating or you're in the process of having those hormonal changes, from my understanding.
From my understanding, I think the process has been there. I mean, it ain't a thought. That ain't making you trans. The thought not. I think the action is making you trans after you have trans. What are you trans if you ain't did the act? I think it's after you have taken the surgery and did the steps and actually transformed is when you trans. That's what I thought.
Right. That may be true, but why are they calling this little boy trans if he hasn't had surgery?
Because people use the word loosely, so. and a lot of words and a lot of language. I think people just use the word freely too much without using it in its proper context. They just say it, you know. It's a new word. It's trending.
Right,
to feel included, and bam, there you go.
Right, that may be true, but I've seen, I've seen these publications refer to him as trans. Like, you know, I'm talking about reputable publications, which they should know better than to use that type of language. But a lot of people are questioning, why is this 12-year-old boy sexualized and allowed to make these decisions as it pertains to your sexuality at 12 years old? Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, at 12 years old, we want to assume that the little boy is not having sex yet. So how is he able to make this decision, number one, that he's sexually attracted to boys, and number two, that he wants to remove his, male sex organs? Like, how is a 12-year-old able to make these decisions? And the thing I don't like is how they try to make it seem like, well, you should support your kids, and no matter how your kids feel, you should support them. No, that's not the case in this particular situation. Yes, you want to support your kids, but also as a parent, you are responsible for setting certain types of guidelines and restrictions and borders for your kids, because we cannot let our kids do everything they feel when they want to do it. Because if that's the case, when our son is 3, 4, 5 years old and they feel like Superman, are we going to put a cape on them and let them jump off a building? No. If our kids wants to sit up and stay up all night and just eat candy and watch YouTube, do we let our kids do that because that's how they feel? No, we don't. You dig what I'm saying? As a parent, you got to set some type of guidelines. And we all know that we don't feel the same as we did when we was 11, 12, 13 years old. We grow, we learn, things change, you know, we evolve. So making decisions like that can be, that are life-altering, you're going to make that decision at 12 years old. So, I mean, it would be the same thing for a little girl at 12 who wants bigger boobs or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Even that type of surgery, that shouldn't be allowed, because your body's still developing, you're still growing.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that to your body. Now, when you get grown, then, hey, knock yourself out. You know what I'm saying? If the little boy's gay or whatever, hey, then be gay. And when you get grown and you feel like you want to do the change, go ahead and do it. But for Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union to support calling this little boy a she and her and changing the name and all that stuff, type stuff, that's going too far, in my opinion. And I don't like that they're parading him around as the mascot for child LGBT issues. He's the spokesperson. He's going to be the spokesperson for children who feel like, quote unquote, they want to come out and, and just be themselves or whatever and claim their sexual identity, which that's going to lead into pedophilia, in my opinion. This is where this is going. Anytime you let kids be sexualized and you let them make, sexual decisions to this magnitude, pedophilia is next. And I don't care what anybody says, that is the next step. So we have to be careful and not to get caught up in, he should just be supporting his kids no matter how they feel, and he should be there. And, you know, it's not a, no, fam. that's not it. You know this is not correct behavior, you know, and it just needs to be called out. So that's my rant. I'm going to let Ryza speak on it if she wants, and then we can hit the call lines.
Yeah, I agree with most of everything you said because I totally think he's too young to make a decision like that, but I also think all 12-year-olds is too young to make sexual decisions. That's why I don't think 12-year-olds should be having sex. So if I'm not going to agree that a 12-year-old should have sex, I'm definitely not going to agree that a 12-year-old is capable of making a sexual decision and saying and to make a life-changing decision with surgery and all that. Like you said, that's like my 12-year-old daughter asking me if she can get breast implants or something. It's like, no way. You know, you're too young for that. I mean, will he allow his son to get drunk, you know, and do drugs? Like,
exactly.
Why? It's like, you know, he's 12 years old. He's a child. So certain things that's just inappropriate for a child. And
exactly.
I think I sent you guys that one meme that made a lot of sense. Like, if a 12-year-old at his age is capable of making sexual decisions, then why are they tripping off of R. Kelly? Why is he locked up?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's the other thing. Yeah. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I mean,
no,
cut you off. Go ahead. I was just
wrapping it up and saying I just don't agree with it. I think it's unfortunate that so many people just pick and choose, you know, what they want to, you know, it's like picking out certain things that they may want to apply to this just to fit their own desires and what their agenda is, you know. Okay, for me,
exactly.
It's okay. And the way and Gabrielle, they're probably being, I guess, feeling pressured. And, you know, by society, you know, nowadays they try to shame you into, when you say
exactly.
You don't agree with a gay lifestyle, nowadays you're wrong, you know. And
you get shamed,
try
exactly.
To shame you, right, for disagreeing
yeah.
with homosexuality. And I think it could be that they are weak and not wanting to, you know, fall victim to that in society, a fear of losing whatever they have, you know, just because they want to tell their son no, that he can't, you know, have this sexual surgery and live this sexual way at his age. I think they're afraid of the backlash that they may get. Or maybe they just
exactly.
slow, you know.
Maybe I don't think they're slow. I think they're very aware. I think they're in that particular lifestyle where, you know, they deal with a lot of open homosexuals, a lot of, you know, things like that. So the question is, who is this child around and what happened to this child growing up? Because according to Dwayne Wade, which I don't believe this at all, but according to Dwayne Wade, he said he knew his son was gay at about 3 years old. There is no way you can tell that a three-year-old is gay and you can tell a three-year-old is gay. There's no way, because what he's talking about is maybe some effeminate behavior or effeminate gestures. That doesn't mean you're gay. This is what people have to understand. Because that little boy, because we know kids mimic what adults do. So who knows who he was around where he was mimicking. It could have been Gabrielle Union. It could have been some other women. It could have been some gay men. Whatever. But kids usually mimic their environment. So there's no way you're going to know someone is gay at 3 years old. I just don't believe it. You dig what I'm saying? So, therefore, for him to say that, that's ridiculous. Because sex is the last thing on a three-year-old mind. I have kids myself. That doesn't even come into play at 3 years old. It doesn't. You dig what I'm saying? So that's just like saying if you have a little girl that's 3 years old and she may be a little tomboy, you know, at 3, 4, 5, she may be a tomboy. Are you going to say she's gay? Is she transgender?
Because she climb a tree.
She's a tomboy because you want to climb a tree and play tag. Right. So now when our little girls, they may be tomboys, they just go throw them into the, oh, they're trans. They want to be a boy. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But we know a lot of times tomboys or girls who are tomboys and kids, they grow out of that. You know what I'm saying? That's just a phase that they may grow out of and then they move on. So that's what I'm saying. The behavior of you, you know, you may do feminine gestures as a boy or you may do masculine gestures as a little girl, but that doesn't mean you are gay. And I think a lot of people confuse that. And they assume that, okay, this little boy may be having some feminine ways, and he's going to be gay. No, that doesn't mean that, fam. That could just mean he's just mimicking what he or she sees at the time. And, that just may be how they are. So they really need to check themselves, and I don't like that they're parading them around as, you know, these great parents who are doing this thing, they're supporting their kids and doing this and that. Like, no, the narrative and the agenda is something that I really can't deal with. And by me having kids, I got to counter the things that they may see as they get older. You know what I'm saying? So I always tell my kids, because we be out. We've been out at restaurants, and my babies be like, Daddy, that's a boy acting like a girl. I say, yeah, he's confused. You know, he doesn't realize what he is, and he's just confused. It's as simple as that. That doesn't mean he should be beat up. That doesn't mean he should be ridiculed. That doesn't mean you should talk about him. That just means he's sexually confused. That's what that means. And he's not aware. So they're talking about, it's about the gender you were assigned by the doctor. Are you crazy? They talk about the doctor assigns your gender.
The doctor does
assign
your
gender. No, universe. Exactly.
The
universe assigns your gender.
Thing.
Exactly. Ain't that crazy? Talk about the doctor assigns your gender. What?
Very. Yeah.
So this is where these people, this is where they're going. So, you know, just be on the lookout and, like I say, we got a lot of fights on our hands, you know, coming up in the future, and this is definitely one of those fights as far as this gay agenda, this homosexuality, this trans agenda, all this stuff that I believe that they're pushing, especially on black people. I mean, they're pushing it to the American society as a whole, but I think they turn it up a notch when it comes to black people, because if you can get the males, if you can turn the males into women, right, and you can have the women as being the strong and backbone of the society, then that's basically ethnic cleansing without violence. You feel me? That's a nonviolent war tactic that they can use, because the men are not going to be fighting because they're too busy shopping, buying dresses and purses, right? So you defeated them. And then if you got the women who are the strongest in that particular society, they can't compete with the men of the opposition, if that makes sense. So it's just, like I say, it's a form of warfare, and we definitely got to be careful and counter these narratives and don't let them shame us into expressing ourselves and telling our kids the truth about, you know, what's going on out here. So I digress, and did we hear our brother Mufasa come join us? I don't know if I heard it right. But.
He's out. He had to go and do some things.
Okay, yes, indeed. So did you want to
We get
the
call. Yeah. Okay, area code 314-381. Caller, you are on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I got a whole lot.
A whole lot.
Yes, indeed. Let's hear it, Carla.
Why you guys coming up with all these excuses about this white boxer going up upside the head? Whoop, upside the head. This Negro boxer, man. He got his butt. Well, what, the magic melanin wasn't working?
He lost.
He definitely lost.
Got it.
Yeah, he lost. Yeah, he lost the fight.
He sung American Pie.
That's weird because he's not even American. This cat is British, singing American Pie.
Well, that makes it worse
for
a British beating an American. But he gave his $9 million purse to the homeless. I don't know if he's homeless in Britain or homeless.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Wait, who did?
Fury.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that. He gave his whole purse to the homeless. I don't believe that.
CNN reported.
That's what they say.
And then you say, so CNN credible?
Well, y'all use it when they talk about Trump.
Nothing they reported don't make it true.
When they talk about Trump, it's credible.
Any news source I use, I take with a grain of salt.
Yeah, so, all right. Well, that's what they
say. But Fury got it. He got the win. He got the win, you know.
Yeah, he did.
It is what it is.
Well, you know, if it was Sue, y'all, it ain't no heavyweight champions nowadays. So,
yeah. The other thing I didn't like, because boxing is such a racialized sport that, you know, it's racialized, it's nationalized, and these people, like, they fight, you know, for their particular race, for their particular country. And I just don't like to see, personally, black men lose in that ring. You know what I'm saying?
They had, what was the boxer's name that fought for Britain, the black boxer, was heavyweight champ?
Anthony Joshua. You talking about Joshua?
Not him. Not him.
Oh, you talking about Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, Lennox Lewis.
You talking about Lennox Lewis? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And hell, blacks do the same thing. Who's the best? Who's the all-time greatest college basketball player?
In college,
more points.
I don't know. That's a tough
yes.
one. Yes. Lou
Alcindor?
Nope. Ooh, Kareem?
Pistol Pete Maverick.
Oh, Pistol Pete.
Why come you don't see his picture hanging up in gymnasiums in the hood? He's an all-time scorer. He had the highest field goal percentage. He scored about 40-some-odd points a game. And he had more free throws than anybody. And guess what? He done it in 3 years.
What? Okay. Pistol Pete,
and the next
I ain't mad
closest
at him.
Person to him got close to him in 4 years. He was from LSU.
Right.
He taught the Iceman. You know who the Iceman is, don't you? George Gervin.
George Gervin, right. Yes, indeed.
So blacks don't
indeed.
Never mention that to their kids. I keep telling you, blacks is racist just like anybody else. Because if whites done that, y'all racist. Anyway, let me get on.
No, they do it. What you mean?
But if they do it and y'all call them racist, then it should apply. It's the action, not the color of the skin. But let's go on. Snoop Dogg should be sued.
What?
He should be sued for making a public statement threatening that lady, threatening to do physical harm to her.
No,
Snoop Dogg
was no threat.
Yes, he did. He should be sued. He's a felon anyway. He's not supposed to be making that kind of statements. And everybody wants to protect him. That's that black privilege. Inflammatory speech. Farrakhan does the same thing. Have done the same thing in his career. Inflammatory speech.
I think people was more protecting Kobe's legacy as opposed to Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg was just defending Kobe, and Muggs was like, yeah, he has a right to defend Kobe's legacy. Especially
well, you
at
can't
this,
defend a person's legacy
time.
If they've done something suspectable. I guess we're going to defend, and I always mention this, James Brown and David Ruffin's legacy. You know what?
Yeah,
people
hate
me. They just hate me. That's all right. Here come that damn Pianchi. Here come Pianchi. I have to remind y'all about these things because you never would say it on your own. But hang on, let's see who else. We talked about that. And as far as Wade's son, his wife says she does not recognize the kid as being that. But in the Obama era, that's what you got to pay for. John F. Kennedy put a man on the moon. Obama put a man in the girl's bathroom. And that's what you got to put up with.
Yeah, because guess what? They gonna start your health insurance is gonna pay for your transgender surgery. Did y'all know that?
Yeah, government ain't gonna pay for it. Not as long as Trump's in there,
no,
but if somebody else gets it,
your health insurance, not government.
Yeah, well, if it's their own, government insurance shouldn't pay it. Look, Obama passed some stuff where your 12-year-old daughter can go over to Illinois and get an abortion without letting you know about it. And here's another thing.
No, sir.
Why come people not on James Clyburn, the congressperson for South Carolina, when he made the statement going against Donald Trump that, hell, Trump, blacks was fully employed during slavery?
Really? Employed? That's not employment
said.
When you're not getting paid. Clyburn
That's
is,
what he
nobody
said.
Takes
he
him
said.
Serious. But right, but nobody
do,
takes him serious.
He's the minority whip of the House. Don't tell me they
exactly,
don't take him serious.
No, he doesn't have any respect in black society. Nobody
he
takes
does.
Him serious.
He gets elected for the last 50 years. Blacks must
And who
respect
are his
him.
Constituents? Who are his constituents?
Black folks. South Carolina.
I would have to check that out. But, yeah, Clyburn, nobody like he's a joke.
Well, Lacey Clay is a joke, too.
You're not going to see me argue with you. I mean, basically, the entire Congressional Black Caucus is a joke, but I mean, that's a whole nother show for a whole nother.
You know, out there at Wohl Center on Martin Luther King,
yes, sir,
and King's Highway, they was dedicating a baseball field in the back. And Clay was up there on the dedication. I went up there and I talked to him. So I was saying something about Africa. Clay told me, I don't give a damn about no Africa.
Wow. Yeah, I believe him.
Yes, he did.
I believe. I mean, he don't give a damn about the black people here in St. Louis. That's why.
But they keep voting for
it. It still looks the same. Like, the black improvement. This is my thing. If we have a Congressional Black Caucus, where are the improvements that black people are seeing as a group? Like, where are our economic advancements? Where are our business advancements?
They don't want you to
you know,
advance.
Where are
you
the resources? Where are these things at if you're in the Congress and then, you know, in these higher powers of government, where are the changes you're making in your constituency?
If blacks, more blacks, I ain't saying none because there are more blacks were to move out of their present economic status, which is deplorable for a whole lot, then they would begin to vote their values. And their values would not be Democrats. When you have Joe Biden, when you have Elizabeth Warren, when you have Bernie Sanders publicly shouted out that we're going to raise taxes, I'm going to do away with Trump's tax reform. Well, most blacks, I would have to say, and I'm not sure on the numbers, but I'm pretty close, that goes over their head. But for a lot of blacks who that would hurt, they hear that. They hear that. And if they stick with party loyalty and vote for one of them that said that we're going to hurt you, then something's wrong with them. Look at the education. Hell, you got them 13 high schools in Baltimore where none of the kids pass their state evaluation in math. None of them. That's really sad. So you cannot, Kevin, concentrate on one area and you don't look at what precedes their arrival at that area that's causing them not able to perform when they reach there. And them Democrats don't want that to happen. Trump do.
Right, right. Now,
Bessie DeVos do, but they don't.
This what I will say, too, Carla, that I've realized, you know, as I got into my investing phase and started learning, you know, about investment, the economy or the investors love Trump. The economy has been doing very well under Trump. And it seems like when Democrats get in office, that's when you see a slowdown in the economy, right? Like the last quote-unquote crash we had was in 2008, 2009 when Obama was in office. And as soon as Trump came in, the stock market has been hitting, you know, record highs, 52-week highs. It's just been booming. So I've realized that's part of the game is when the Republicans get in, the economy does fare better than when the Democrats in office.
I was listening to Willis Reed and Lyda Crewson, your mayor in St. Louis, talking about Lyda Crewson talking about minimum wage, all city jobs, $15 an hour. Okay. And she made comments about gun laws. Okay. Well, hell, your students in your school, you know, you got, you know, at the McDonald there on Kings Highway and Natural Bridge, it was putting out applications for jobs. I seen both students and older people standing in line to get an application. Something's wrong with that picture. Something definitely wrong with that picture. Those jobs should be for young students who's trying to make a few extra dollars to pay for books and school supplies, you know, tentatively. That's not supposed to be a job where older adults are dependent on in order to raise a family. Something's wrong with that picture. But anyway, what can I say? But
yes,
I tried
sir.
To keep up with y'all and make a list as you was talking. And I think I covered everything that I took note of.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate you, Colin.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
We'll
talk to you. Peace.
Awesome.
All right, family. If you're just joining us, this is Collective Minds Radio. I am Brother Kev with Queen Raiju, and I'm Brother Mufasa Bra. We are Collective Minds Radio. This week is our open discussion, so we've just been talking about a lot of things that's been going on in the news, social media, you know, just having constructive conversations to discuss, you know, what's going on in the world, the mundane, the hard copy, see what's going on. So, did you have any response, Queen Roger? You want to get another caller?
We're just trying to get another caller real fast. Let's go with area code 315-767. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment?
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing tonight?
Hey,
Peace.
Thank
you. Yeah. Hey, glad to be on the show. Thanks for taking my call. Now, I'll make a little comment about, I don't care nothing about no boxing. I don't watch that mess. And what I was hearing was about that the Wade stuff and his son. That's a shame. And you went in on how they go after the Tom girls too. But that's not really the case. Because what it is how I feel about it, or how I, it's not even how I feel. fantasy evidence being portrayed, and it's an attack on masculinity. They want the little boys to become weak, little girl-minded individuals so they don't grow up and become strong enough to defend themselves against the tyranny that's coming. They're not really too worried about the girls, because when a girl, like if a girl goes to college, and there's stories on this, and they come back, you know, talking about their male and they had their breasts removed and stuff, there's like this whole big old intervention and everything that goes out to fix them and what's wrong with our daughters. And but when a boy becomes a young, you know, becomes a young man and he decides he wants to get his penis removed, he's empowered, he's championed, he's praised. But it's
right.
So it's not the same thing. They're not trying to masculinize these females. They don't want the females to become boys, not at all. No. But because when a man, when a young child gets put on those drugs as a child, it sterilizes them and it prevents them from becoming, it prevents their testosterone from changing them into the masculine form.
Mm-hmm.
They're not putting young girls on testosterone. You know, it's about feminizing these boys and ruining our culture and ruining our families and our foundation as a nation from inside. Because without strong men, you can't defend your nation. So every opportunity they can to pick at these men, at these young boys, calling them toxic and teaching them all these feminine things, is weakening our nation from the inside, so that when it comes time for them to become of age and it's their turn to defend our country, we don't have anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're ripe for the picking. And the sad thing is, we don't see it from being inside. Inside the pasture, inside the plantation, we can't see it. All we see is what they're doing to this little boy, what they're doing to that little boy. But it's a much larger picture.
Right.
And it's a down-the-road picture. It's a generational picture to destroy America from the inside out, because we're too strong at this point for the outside forces to take us down and depose our government, depose us, because we're too free. The rest of the world hates us because we're too free. Our poorest people are richer than 80% of the rest of the world.
Right. Well,
our homeless bums on the street have it better than some of the hardest working people in other countries.
Right, that's true. That is definitely true.
They hate us for it.
But
they hate us for it.
No, I don't think that's why they hate us for it. I think they hate us because a lot of times we go over there and try to inflict our will upon them. But I don't think they hate us because we're free.
Too.
I just think, you know, we go there and try to dictate how they should run.
We will no longer be able to do that if we've got weak men.
That's true.
If we have no more men to supply the might that keeps the rest of the world in check from messing with us in America. If you love America, you need to love the men. You need to make men strong, because that's the only reason you get to live in a country that's like this. You think you got it bad now.
Right.
Imagine what it's going to be like when you have a bunch of weak men and you turn into Venezuela.
Right.
That's the thing I wanted
to
talk on. What was it? It was talking about these senators that are a joke, these congressmen that are a joke.
Right.
None of those people are, you might think that their activities are a joke or what they're supposed to be doing is a joke and whatnot, but none of those individuals are actually a joke. Those people are in very, very powerful positions that they get voted into. They dictate how your life will go. They're not a joke. The joke is that we put them in office because they don't give two shits about us and what we need or what we want. They're not about us. The only color that they comprehend or that they care about, the color that they see and work for, is green.
Mm-hmm.
Not white supremacy, not black caucus crap. It's about green. It's about making some dollars for themselves and the people that put them in that place so that they can feel that, like you said, power. They're not a joke. The joke is us leaving them there. year in and year out and voting them back in. They're not doing nothing for us, but we put them back. But it's not us. It's not us that puts them back there. You know who puts them back there? The losers.
Who?
The losers who don't understand, and they just keep falling for the rhetoric that they're going to get something for nothing by putting this person in office. Even though they keep getting nothing, but they keep on thinking that, well, this time it'll be different. They say they're going to give me this. I don't care if they're going to take it from these other hardworking people. I'm not working. I don't care if they get rid of the tax. I mean, they get, you know, tax these people. I'm not getting taxed. I don't pay taxes anyway. You know,
right.
That's why we keep getting those people in there. The losers far outnumber the winners. Plus, the losers have a lot more time on their hands to run out and vote and cause mayhem than the working hard class people. And not even all of us that are working. We're not even the winners. We are just trapped in the same system, being governed by the losers, being dictated to us by the winners, being chosen by the losers.
Right. And like I said before, less than half of the U.S. population even votes. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so that says a lot.
It's about a quarter. It's about a quarter of the U.S. population that votes.
Exactly. So by that being a small number, that says a lot.
And when it comes
right.
Yeah, then when it comes down to just the other, like, off-season stuff, maybe,
it's less
maybe
than
even,
that.
Not even a tenth. Not even a tenth of our people in this country vote.
Right. Exactly.
Whether they
what that tells me,
whether they're not allowed to anymore, or they just don't get around to it.
Right. But that tells me that people are kind of disengaging in the system. People are kind of seeing it for what it is and just like, hey, I'm going to do my
thing
regardless,
is,
I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to participate in this in the system because I know it's been bought and paid for.
All the people that aren't participating, you know what we should do? Instead of not participating, we should get together on all the social media that we have and say, well, we're not voting for Trump. And we're not voting for whoever the Democratic person is. We're going to figure out this one-third party person, and we're all going to vote for that person. We got social media. We can make it happen. We just don't because we're apathetic. We don't care. We're so jaded in that we just think that we can't make a change, but we can. We just don't because it takes too much work.
Right.
Because we have to do research. We have to figure something out, and we have to reach out, and we have to actually take steps to do something. And that doing something is just a little bit too much, so I'm either going to vote for this bad or I'm going to vote for this bad or I'm not going to vote at all. And guess what happens? That bad still takes its shape because we didn't do anything.
Yes,
indeed. So you cannot vote if you want to.
Yes, indeed.
You're still going to get caught up in the same system. And you're not voting didn't hurt anybody but you.
Yeah,
it
well,
didn't make any change.
I
they
mean,
don't care if you, they don't care if you vote or not. They're still going to get put in office. If only three people vote in America, the two that voted for the most people, the person that got the two votes is going to win. If Donald Trump wins with just two votes because only three people voted it, whose fault is that? That's for all the people who didn't vote for somebody else.
Yeah, well, the way I see it, a lot of people are not going to be voting this year. So we'll see how that goes. But I do want to make one correction too. I want to stand corrected. I said the economy has been doing better under Donald Trump than Barack Obama. No, it hasn't. I actually just pulled up the numbers.
Well,
so when we talk about GDP growth,
it's stagnant. It's pretty stagnant.
Yeah,
we ain't had raises in a long ass time.
Right, but I'm looking at, again, the GDP growth of the last three presidents, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump. Under George Bush, the economy did the best out of the three. And then they had a slump in 2008, 2009, going into 2010, and then it kind of rebounded in 2010, 2011 under Barack Obama.
I don't blame that recession on Barack Obama. He did kind of inherit that.
No. That came in. Yeah, he inherited that. Yeah, it was a huge bubble. He inherited
but
that.
But those bailouts didn't help.
But he was kind of in a position. Exactly.
Yeah,
he was kind of in a position. His hands were tied on that one.
But again, a lot of those bailouts were orchestrated to make certain other companies actually fold. There's a couple of banks that were targeted to fold during that, and it was on purpose. A lot of that recession was just to kill two banks so that the other banks would have less competition. They destroyed a lot of America and a lot of American lives just to take two banks out of business. Bear Stearns and Fannie Mae and Lehman Brothers came back. I mean, Fannie Mae and the other Freddie Mac, they came back, but they took out Lehman Brothers. They wanted Lehman Brothers gone, and they wanted Bear Stearns gone. And they destroyed a lot of America to do it, because we're nothing but a resource. They didn't care. The ends justify the means in their you know, to them, because they have the power.
Yes, indeed.
They're not a joke. Those people there are not a joke. And
I was saying that times it was a joke, as in they don't do anything for the people. You know,
like
you say, they're concerned with the bottom line and power and money. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I definitely agree with that. But, yeah, I was saying they're a joke, as in they really don't give, you know, two it's about the people. So,
no, they don't.
That's what I was saying. But I do want to stand corrected, because a listener hit me up and told me to check my stats on that. So I do want to report accurately as far as the economy doing well under Trump versus Obama. It did do slightly better under Obama. Trump has been in, 3 years or 4 years now? This will be the fourth year. So we'll see how this next four plays out, because, again, I do believe he'll be reelected. There's nobody on the Democratic side. And, Donald J. Trump will be your next president.
Thanks for having me on. You go ahead and grab yourself another caller.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate you, caller. Thank you,
caller.
If you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. Brother Kev, Queen Ra, and my brother Mufasa. This is the last Sunday of the month, so we do an open discussion, so you can call us up. You know, chop it up with us about anything. We've been discussing a few things, D. Wade and his son, to Sage's Day, to the Wilder Fury fight that happened last night. You know, so give us a call. Let us know. The number is 929-477-1697. We down in the last half hour of the show. Queen Rogers, did you have anything to say? You want to grab another call?
Well, we can get to a caller. Area code 319-572. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Greetings from the backwoods. In other news
tonight,
how about the Trump meltdown? From when all those people came to him, Russia, Russia meddling again.
Right. What do you say? Yeah, put us up on it. I missed it.
Oh yeah. Russia got caught tampering with the servers again. And they went and told Trump, and Trump said, "Oh no, yeah." But and then I was watching the Democratic debate and some other things about them.
I heard about that. They say Bloomberg got bomb rushed. Did they bomb rush Bloomberg or what?
Man, they basically when it came down to black folks, they were just arguing over who wasn't racist because they had the most and who had the most black friends. But you got Amy coming out from being a DA. You know she was locking motherfucking black folks up, black and brown. From what I've seen, she was locking them up like she was getting paid commission. then you got the tapes coming out with Bloomberg talking about, I said throw them against the wall. Yeah, throw them against the wall, molest them. Make sure they ain't got nothing, and 90% of the time, they never found anything. But then when he told he couldn't do it no more, he's like, okay. But and then you had Trump pretty much yelling the same thing. Throw them up against the wall. But at the same time, in the neighborhoods where the crime is at, you guys are like help us get down the crime. And then when they try to come up with a solution, you guys all know this ain't going to work. So what do you want people to do? What do you want them to do to solve the crime in your neighborhoods?
Yeah, well, stop and frisk ain't the answer, though. You know what I mean? Stop and frisk is not the answer. That's never worked, and it's never going to work. It didn't prevent crime. You know, it was just basically a harassing type measure. Where you just harass citizens,
also,
and you might get lucky and find some, but
that kind of law kind of made you think about what you went out the house with. What do I got?
True.
I ain't supposed to got have. What am I about to do?
Well, it might make you a smarter criminal.
Yep, but either way,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, y'all want them to clean it up, but when they try to clean it up, you guys want to yell they go too far. But anyway,
yeah, it's a way that you can handle things and fight crime without taking those measures as far as, you know, stopping and frisking. Not to mention that he was only stopping and frisking in predominantly black neighborhoods. Like, why don't you stop and frisk on
high
Wall
crime
Street?
Neighborhood?
You don't think Wall Street is high crime?
But the same thing. But yeah, I know. No, they're with their little cocaine and stuff. But the same time, I haven't heard any of the presidents or any of the candidates even speak on how they plan to heal this wound.
Right.
That you have in Black America.
Because they don't care
we might be traumatized every time we walk out the door.
Right. The Democrats have taken the black vote for granted for years and years and years. So now it's coming to a head where they're actually losing the black vote. You know, either black people are going Republican and voting for Donald Trump, or black people just not voting at all. As far as for the Democratic Party, as far as for the president go, you know, so they had an interesting time right now because, again, they're not catering to their base, which is the black vote, and they know they cannot win the presidency without the black vote. So they're going to have to make a decision, you know, this spring and this summer what they want to do. If they continue to ignore black people, then black people not going to show up. And they go lose. So
yeah. Because I noticed,
you know,
each time they have their little thing, as soon as they start bringing up the injustice and racial, they always hurry up and change it.
Exactly.
They always hurry up and change it.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Because they know, and that's why Trump will make his little comments, you know, about black people and about opportunity zones and how he the prison reform and. He does that to kind of take jabs at the Democrats because he knows they're struggling to hold on to the black vote at this point. So he just, you know, say little things to capitalize on that despite the Democrats. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be interesting, man. Like I said, I got my popcorn. I'm going to be watching and seeing what's happening out in these streets. You know.
Hey.
But right on, caller. Did you have anything else you wanted to get off?
No, that's it.
Yeah. All right. Yes, indeed. We appreciate you, caller.
Thanks, caller. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. We're down to the last.
I forgot. I do want to mention something, too, earlier about the announcement. I do want to give two birthday shout-outs. I know we got Mufasa last week. And another one to give a shout out, a big happy birthday to Candy. Candy, Izzy, and Kalita Crisp, one of my, I sit on her board actually, Kalita. And we will be doing a fundraiser. So I'll keep you guys informed with that. It's going to be a skating party bringing awareness to mental health. It will be in June.
Yes, indeed.
Keep you guys updated on that, but we will be doing. A big skating party rolling rolling for a reason. We bring awareness to
rolling
mental health.
Rolling for a reason. I like that.
Rolling for
yes,
a
indeed.
Reason. Bring awareness to mental health. And we got some great things involved with that. And I'll keep you guys updated as we get closer and closer.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Birthday shots out to those sisters and happy solar return. And hope this year be your best and most prosperous year. You did your next trip around the sun. So let's get it. Yeah, we probably got time for one more call.
Yeah.
See what's up, and then we'll get ready to wrap it on up.
Okay.
Let's get it. Let's see
what's
popping.
Unfortunately, will be the last call. Area code 314-568. Caller, you are on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
No, I'm just listening. I actually caught the tail end of the show. I wish I would have heard a little bit more about the D. Wade and his little son situation, because I still can't say daughter. And actually
right.
about the Wilder fight, the Wilder fight too. That was pretty deep, also. But I'm listening. I don't want to comment on the Wade thing because that's almost obvious to me. So I'm gonna leave that alone.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
yeah.
indeed.
I wish it
appreciate
was so obvious to everybody. Thank you, caller.
Right.
Unfortunately,
yeah,
it
so it was.
Not so
obvious I mean,
to everybody.
Yeah, it was an eventful. Like I say, people, boxing fans, have been waiting on this fight since the last time they fought. And those who watched the last fight, now Fury was winning that last fight until he got knocked down. I would say out for a minute, but he got knocked down and he got back up and kind of finished the fight. But he was winning that last fight. This fight, like I say, looked totally different. You know, Wilder wasn't throwing no punches. It was like he was stuck, like just in a zone. And, you know, like I say, when that ear started bleeding, it was a wrap. My dude was off balance, off kilter.
Yeah, it messes equilibrium off. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it messes equilibrium totally up. It's the side of his head was swole, like where the temple was. So I don't know if he had some internal bleeding on the brain. Like, it was just bad. And like I say, it looked like he had a cranial fracture. And if that's the case, I'm suspecting, again, that it was something in his glove. You know, as far as it wasn't padded right or some type of, you know what I mean? Something was going on to where, because that's what the gloves protect you from you having those damaging, you know, bone-to-bone type of hits, you know, that's not supposed to happen. Like, it's bad enough you getting punched in the head. The head's not supposed to, you know, receive that type of treatment. You know what I'm saying? It's not supposed
right.
to be hit. The head's not meant to be hit like that. And so that's what the gloves are supposed to protect you from. So, you know, we'll just wait to see what's going on. If Deontay give it up and just say, hey, I just got beat, then that's what it is. But I suspect that Fury had something in them gloves.
Yeah.
You know, but
and like I said, I suspected foul play even from the first fight.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know.
Or like I say, he could have been on something. He is known as a narcotic head, but, you know, I digress. I don't want to, you know, be making excuses for the man and then. Because it is what it is. But, you know, it did hurt to see my boy go out like that.
Oh, you know, that's how I was going to ask you. Did you get a chance to check out that proclamation that they gave Yo Gotti? You know, some people having some feelings about it, like, you know, like.
No,
really
I didn't.
Sense.
What did they give him? Yeah,
they officially made whatever yesterday's date was Yo Gotti Day.
Oh, okay, where in Memphis?
No, here.
Or where are you from? In St.
No,
Louis?
No, here. Yeah, right, where we're from.
In St. Louis? Oh, in St.
Yeah.
Louis. Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
They gave him a big proclamation and all that and.
I'm not necessarily mad at that because even though, because you can go into, okay, what does he rap about? He rap about drugs, women, this and that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you can go into that, or you can be like, this man has done a lot of concerts here. I think he said he lived here for a, you know, a short period of time. He's brought money, shows, economy, things of that nature to the city. So from that point,
his prison reform approach. You know, they say he's doing a lot with prison reform.
Yeah. Remember when we talked about the Parchment Prison in Mississippi? He was one of the people, along with Rockefeller, that was bringing a lawsuit against that particular prison for the treatment of the inmates. So, I'm not mad at that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not mad at Yo Gotti getting props for that. My question always is, you know, what exactly is prison reform? Like, what does that all entail? Because a lot of times, you know, people use these words and, you know, these little phrases, but it's like, what, you know, what exactly is prison reform? You know, and what does that mean? So, you know, I would just need to get more information on that. But anytime you can help people rehabilitate themselves and get out of the prison system, I think that's a good thing. You know, so, yeah, I'm not mad at that.
I'm mixed about it, you know. Yeah,
Okay. What you mean?
What you think? I don't know. Well, because it's just saying, like, I don't even know how to really put this into words, but it just it's just not settling so right in my spirit. It's just something about
right, based
it
just, on.
Just based on, it's just some with the people that I've seen around it and was involved. It's just saying like
right.
It's some old, I don't know.
Be on to something. Yeah. Because I didn't see, I'm just going off what you said, but yeah, you could be on to something, you know. A lot of things that go down in this society are based on, you know, what they call it, based on different cliques and, you know, you got to be in this group, that group, you know, type of thing. And it don't necessarily got to be married, but just who you know and all that type of stuff. So, yeah, that could be part of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's part of the game, and
yeah,
that's how people move out here. You know what I'm saying? That's just part of the game. So, you could be on to something.
Yeah,
I'm definitely not saying that.
Yeah, it's just not sitting all the way right with my spirit. But, you know, hey.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Someone did say that he have a child that lives here.
Right, okay, yeah. I remember him saying he lived here for a little while. Not sure how long, but he said he lived here for a minute. So yeah, it is what it is. You know,
yeah,
I'm just, like
and
I say,
quick,
my new thing is, go ahead.
Did you hear about the officer that was, passed out drunk in his uniform and in his patrol car? He won't face charges, though. Did you hear about that?
No. Is he the guy in Chicago, the black man in Chicago?
No, he's a white guy.
Okay. No, I didn't hear
about
that.
Yeah, he was passed out drunk. Yeah.
And won't face charges,
though.
Yeah.
Nah, he was passed out
drunk. Surprises, though. Right. No surprises, though. You feel me? But,
yeah,
that's the type of stuff that go down.
you know, that's what we're dealing with. Of course, he won't face charges, but that was a regular person. They hit him with a DWI, DUI, and all types of stuff. So.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, it is what it is. We coming down to the last 5 minutes of the show. It's been a good one. This is the last show in February. These months flying by. We already 2 months down. Why does it seem like the year has been long already? Or maybe I'm tripping. It seems like it's been going by fast, but these first 2 months, there's been a lot going on.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It's been very
the first
busy.
2 months is. It seemed like it's been very, very busy. I mean, the Kobe passing, that was like a big shock wave. Then you got the coronavirus going on. You got the impeachment thing that started at the beginning of the year. And this has been busy, busy, busy. So by this being an election year, I don't expect it to slow down. You know, there's going to be a lot more things going on. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we was talking about, well, we on the verge of World War III, right? Remember
exactly.
that?
Yeah, exactly.
When they bombed
old
boy, it took about, we was talking about that now. We had moved on to something else. And so it's been busy, busy. And like I say, I don't think it's going to slow down. We are in an election year, and anything can happen. You know, like I say, anything can happen. So just prepare yourself, you know. Try not to get too attached and, you know, just make sure you're taking care of yourself and your peoples. You dig?
Yeah.
So, let's get ready to wrap it up. I hope the brothers, you know, get a brothers coming back from the Savior's Day, a safe travels. You know, I hope everybody make it back cool. And, yeah, that's where we at. And I'm going to let Rigel close it out with, you know, just for me, just thank the callers, thank the supporters. Check us out on social media, and we will be back next week. But we're going to let Queen Rigel close us out.
Well, he said already.
Oh, now did I close out? And you know,
well, he said already, but not
closing out.
Exactly. But, yeah, again, thanks for tuning in with us. Like always, we definitely appreciate you guys. We appreciate the support that you give us. And we just ask you continue to support us and continue to listen in each and every Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Like always, if you have any show topic ideas, please feel free to email us at collectiveminds@yahoo.com or hit us up on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. And peace. Talk to you next week. I want you guys to have a good night. And have a,
yes,
and have
a
great
week.
Nice week. A great week. Talk to you later.
Peace out.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talkin'. Out.